If you love the Divergent series by Veronica Roth, then stay tuned because this is Action Fandom, Episode 7. My name is Stephanie.
My name is Alyssa.
So, I want to know what you thought. We told you that you needed to read Anna and the French Kiss and Lola and the Boy Next Door. So, tell us what you thought of it.
So I bought them online, and I found them for, like, super cheap.
Okay.
But that's not the point. The point is that, oh my god.
Right?
I have, like, serious emotions when it comes to this whole thing. I was like, what?
They're so good, aren't they?
I wanted to smack them, and I wanted to hug them, and I loved Lola's dad's, like, nobody's
business. They're the best.
They were my favorite, I'm not going to lie.
I feel like gay rights are such a big deal right now. And I love it when they just kind of slip that into a book. And it's not a big deal. It's just the way life is. Like, the girl has two dads. Okay. Done.
It was brilliant. It was brilliantly done. It was a really fun read. I had moments of, like, I need to actually do my work, but I want to finish this book.
You want to finish it.
So I finished it instead of my work.
OMG. So you read both of them then?
I did. I read both of them in, like, a day.
they're so good. Gosh, you don't think about it, but, like, Stephanie Perkins is just everything together. How does the woman do it? I don't know.
It was much better than I thought it was going to be, mm-hmm. And I'm very glad that I did that.
Wonderful. Well, I'm glad you finally read them. I knew you would like them. It's like everyone kind of thinks, and you look at the front covers, and they do look very cliche, and you're just like, eh.
Well, I bought the new covers.
You don't have the covers?
I bought the new covers.
I want the new covers so bad. They're pretty, aren't they?
They are. So I felt a little bit less like I was reading something horrendously cliched with those covers.
Okay.
So instead of having the Eiffel Tower, I was like, okay, this is something I can handle with.
What is it? It's like the Eiffel Tower on it or something like that?
Yeah, it was just, I was like, I can't deal with you in this cover. I did. I totally judged a book by its cover, and I feel a little bit bad about that.
Shame on you.
But.
You've been enlightened.
I have. I've been enlightened.
That's the point.
And I enjoyed it.
I'm on probably the last 4 chapters of Prisoner of Azkaban. Oh my gosh, it's so intense. I keep thinking, okay, so for the longest time, I know that the movies change a lot of different things, but I swear, I sat and thought, okay, is Crookshank Sirius black for some reason? Because that cat hates, absolutely hates the rat. Like, I just, oh my gosh, and there's so much more. And like, Hermione and Ron are fighting for like 3 weeks. A whole 3 weeks, oh. And then, like, it's just done after, like, one comment. It cracks me up.
Yeah, they're kind of adorable in, like, a really sick way. They're adorable.
And then Harry's so much of, like, a sports jock.
I know.
Like, that's his life. They're like, oh, Quidditch, they're flying around on brooms. That's great. No, that's his life. The kid
that's his life.
Quidditch.
Third book.
Oh, my gosh. So intense. I love it, though. What else? I'm going to finish it tonight. It's going to be fantastic.
Nice. No, so Crookshanks is pretty much my favorite underrated animal character in that series.
I haven't finished the ending yet, but I'm thinking he's Sirius Black's pet?
He's just awesome.
Is he?
He's just
or awesome. Is he just a really smart cat? I don't know. I can't
kind
decide.
Of all.
Kind of all of it.
Kind of all of it. He's mostly just awesome in general.
Okay. So that's what we're reading. It's exciting. I'm so thrilled that you finished it. I get to talk about it all the time now. I don't feel like I'm spoiling anything. Okay. So let's move on because we do need to get finished. I want like a little jingle for the new segment. Dun 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 news time. I don't know. So we had a lot of news today to talk about. We haven't recorded in a while, so we've got a lot of stuff to cover. But first of all, Shailene Woodley won the favorite character of 2014 at the MTV Movie Awards. Did they start that for this movie because they haven't had that award before, and I feel like they decided, oh, we need to get one more fan base on our ratings. Let's throw something from Divergent in there because it's not coming out until next year.
No, I don't think so.
It's the only award that was for 2014 and not 2013, though.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, congrats to her. I'm thrilled for that. I'm just thinking, really, I feel like they just kind of sold out on that.
They kind of did, but I'm not going to lie. I was really happy for her.
Happy for her. It's good recognition. Next year will be a real thrill because then we can have all of those awards listed. Okay. So I know we suspected a lot, but what do you think about our new Allegiant news? Big shock, isn't it? It's going to be split into two movies.
But again, I haven't read it, so I don't know where they're going to, like, split it.
That's the thing. Like people who've read it don't know where they're going to split it either. Because it's not like Mockingjay and Harry Potter where you literally can, like, take two halves of a book. And, like, freaking Breaking Dawn was labeled as book one, book two, book three. So, like, it's easy to think, oh, yeah, you're going to split it in these obvious areas. There's not a spot for that.
Okay.
It's all one big storyline. So I'm just like, really?
I mean, to be fair, I also don't really know how or where they're going to split Mockingjay. I'm having a problem with that. This is going to be like a rant. I get that there's a lot going on in Mockingjay, but I'm like, there's a whole storyline that goes straight through. It doesn't need to be split up, but that's my thing, and I'm done now.
And honestly, after reading Divergent and Insurgent, I feel like so much more happens in the first two books than the third book. It's very political. As most dystopian storylines are, the third book has some resolution, and the resolution is political. It just doesn't have a lot of stuff happening. It's got a lot of dialogue and I don't know. Like a lot happens but a lot doesn't happen. I don't know.
Well,
we'll have to figure that out later.
I got the whole thing spoiled for me in the at yesterday night. So
you did not.
I did.
Who spoiled it for you?
I work with a youth group and one of the girls that I bonded with was like, and then this happens, and I'm not going to spoil it for anyone who hasn't read it, because now I know. She basically just started, like, telling me everything. And
did you, like, plug your ears and go la, 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 because that's what you needed to do?
I know that's what I needed to do, but it happened so fast. She just goes, and I was like, you realize I haven't read that book yet.
I'm just shaking my head.
She kind of looked at me and was like, I did know that. But I'm kind of sorry.
She knew that, but she did it anyway.
She did it anyway.
I can't stand people who spoil books. It's not fair. It should be illegal. I feel like there should be a law against it. Okay.
I'm totally with you on that one, but, you know.
That's depressing.
Yeah.
And then on one end, I guess, if you wanted to look at a bright side, at least now you're prepared.
I guess.
I don't know.
It was one of those weird moments. I was sitting there going, whatever.
Yeah. You should move on then.
We should.
Okay, so you know the short stories.
I do.
We've been talking about when we're going to read the rest of those, but so they came out with The Transfer already.
Yeah.
And Sheree and I reviewed that one already, too. So there was The Initiate, The Son and the Traitor.
I think
that's what's left.
I think so. I wanna get the whole thing when it comes out.
Yeah. So Veronica Roth, she released a post about it that it is gonna come out July 8th this summer. The hardcover, the whole shebang of the stories. I'm gonna go on a whim and say that it does not include Free Four. Because Free Four was more of an excerpt. It wasn't a part of the short stories when she planned them.
Yeah, it's probably not going to, but you never know with what they're doing.
But she is including some, like, deleted scenes and stuff.
Which, that'll be cool.
Yeah. So that'll I posted cool. about that on the site. You can go check that out. What else is on here? Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Oh, so did you, at the time when I typed this up, the Tipios metaphor scene had just come out, and I was going to ask your opinion on them all of the gossip and the opinions going around on the interweb.
I've seen it.
Yeah. It's good. It's really, really good. Wait, hold on. Let's rewind here. When you say you've seen it...
I've seen the whole movie.
How the heck does that happen? Oh, my God. What are you talking about? Just, like, shoot now. Okay. All right. Go ahead and explain yourself. I'll be quiet.
Okay. So, I was sent an email from the Tiffio's Tumblr staff.
Okay.
And I was asked if I wanted to participate in a top secret super fan meetup in New York City. And my immediate response was, well, yeah, I want to participate in this, yeah. Obviously. They said, well, okay, so we can't tell you where it's going to be, we can't tell you when it's going to be, but it's going to be Sunday afternoon. So, and we'll tell you on Sunday morning where and when the meetup is. So, Sunday morning comes around, I get the email, and I take myself into the city, and I go to the Crosby Hotel, which is where it was, and I find out that we're there to watch the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're watching it on the TV, it's live, we're like, this is so great, we have no idea what's going on, but this is awesome.
Freaking out about it.
We're freaking out about it, because this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so after it ends, they're kind of like, well, if you guys want to stick around for a while, that's fine. We've got a couple more things that we're gonna have happen for you all. So just stick around. And we're like, well, this is weird. Mind you, you've now put a bunch of book bloggers into one very small room with food.
And was there alcohol?
There was no alcohol because it was, in fact...
Well, let me keep you at least a little sane.
It was mixed. It was a mixed age group.
Okay.
And then John Green and Nat Wolff walk into the room.
The whole room, like, erupted.
We maybe screamed a little bit.
A little bit? A little bit. I wasn't even there. I know, like, how much else.
A lot.
Yeah.
And we were told that part of the reason we were invited was to get an advanced screening of the movie.
I'm done. We can no longer be friends. I just thought I would let you know. Here's my 2 weeks notice. I will search for another host.
Oh,
I'm so jealous. This is what happens when you don't live in a metropolitan area. You miss out on everything.
Honestly, okay, so this was actually the first of the Tiffio's meetups. There are a bunch of them that are
going to... Yeah, and he's coming to Dallas, but, like, really? Oh.
There's Miami, Dallas, Cleveland, and one more.
Question. Yeah. Okay, so that was the New York meetup. They're coming to Dallas.
They're not going to have an advanced screening at that meetup, but they will all be there.
Boo.
Like, boo. Chats. And you'll probably actually, if you go, you'd probably actually get an opportunity to meet them. I did not get an opportunity to meet them because
you were in the mosh pit of people?
Or yes, because there was,
like,
also...
they actually have, like, a reserved line for that? Or, I mean...
Well, no, they were... The cast and John Green and Josh, the director, whose last name I can't remember, were doing...
Boone,
thank you. They were doing their press interviews.
Mm-hmm.
So they were all kind of being confabbed in one area, and one press after another, after another, after another. So it was a whole thing.
Okay.
So we didn't actually get a chance to meet them. I brought my copy of Tiffio's just in case. I did not get him to sign it, which was sad.
Aww. But
I will tell you that I laughed and I cried. And I laughed and cried at the same time. And I tried really hard to not have, like, the disgusting sob noises that happen when you're crying.
I cried at the Passion of Christ. Mom and I took tissues into that. But I think that's the only movie I've ever full-out cried in the theater at. I've teared up a little bit, but not full-out noise-making crying.
Oh, I was a chocolate mess. They didn't actually give it. It was weird because they didn't actually give us tissues. We all assumed, we all knew that we were going to go into this movie and we were going to cry. There were going to be tears. We may not bawl like little babies, but there were going to be some tears. And we kind of expected there to be tissues available for us. They were not.
It would have been nice if they had warned you guys.
Yeah, I would have brought a box of tissues.
Aww.
It would have been good because I would have used all of them.
Okay, well, go ahead and, you can't spoil anything. Go ahead and give us your film critics review stars.
Out of five?
Out of five.
It was a five.
Really?
Maybe a 4.5 if I'm going to be picky about things.
Oh,
but
I'm so excited.
It was one of the most amazing book adaptations I have ever seen in my life. I may have had doubts about Ansel before I saw this movie.
Oh, really?
I mean, and I did, because I don't, that's, he is not the way I pictured Gus.
No, yeah. A lot of people would feel that way.
But after this movie, after everything, he is Gus in my head. That is my Gus.
I'm so excited. I'm so happy for him now, because we had worried about that.
We were. And, so it's going to be, I'm going to go see it again, and I'm going to bring tissues.
Aww.
It was so good.
Well, I'm glad, I'm happy for you, I guess.
Nobody's happy for me.
You know what, I was going to ask you that, too, like, as a fellow book blogger and stuff, how do you go about getting, like, advanced copies of stuff? Because I email and hashtag everything in my life, and not in the hopes of getting an advanced copy, but I'm seriously want to know what kind of connections you have to do stuff like that. And, like, sure enough, this happens.
I actually don't have any connections in publishing. That's not where I'm at.
Well, no, I don't think people have connections, but I see other people on Tumblr, you know, they have advanced copies or whatever. They can't talk about stuff until the books actually come out. But I'm just curious how you go about doing that. Like, do you have to be so famous, or do you have to give, like, reviews, or
you have to be able to give honest reviews, and usually you can do that. Hold on one sec. Nick? He was whistling.
Oh, no, I heard that. That sounded like a bird.
No. Well, there is a bird, but that was also my brother. Okay, so to get, like, ARCs, you have to be able to give reviews, and you have to have an audience that will read them.
So you've got to have an established audience and have credibility.
Yeah. And then you also just have to be able to reach out and be like, look, I'm an established book blogger. These are the stuff I typically review. Here are the reviews that I've written. Feel free to unload, and I will pass it on to my followers.
You've got to persuasively sell yourself.
Basically. I mean, I'm going to BookCon at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, when it was still part of Book Expo America, and I got a bunch of ARCs there.
Yeah, that's a good place to get those, too.
So it's just a matter of being somewhere, knowing someone. I mean, I'm going to bring a bunch of cards and hand them out to publishers and be like, look, I have a blog. It's very well established. I do write book reviews upon occasion. I'd like to start writing more. Could you possibly start sending me ARCs?
And I will start doing them more, obviously.
And I will start writing more reviews.
That's a great way to do it. All righty. Well, good luck on that.
Thank you.
I am jealous, but I am happy for you. I'm just thrilled that it's going to be as good as everyone's hoping. Everyone's hoping it is. Super excited about that.
Yeah, there were like 30 book bloggers in the movie theater at the hotel, and by the end of the movie, we all kind of looked at each other. It was like, so we're all bonded together now, right?
Yeah, we've all experienced
this extreme sadness together. Aww. We're like bros. We're fine.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad you established some book family in there.
It was great. It was a lot of fun. It was nice to meet other book bloggers in, like, real life.
Like, because everything else is on the internet.
Everything's on the internet.
It's true.
So excited for BEA, though. I get to meet a bunch of other people, and I'm like, yay!
I love making friends.
But, yes, okay. That's my Tiffios story.
Spoil. Well, speaking of the Tiffios movie, then we also got news. We, as in, like, the world, not just, like, special people who get special, you know, movie sign-ups and whatever.
Sure.
We were told that Paper Towns and Eleanor and Park got movie deals, which is super exciting because Paper Towns is really, really good.
It's excellent.
We're so happy for John Green.
Very happy.
The Nerdfighter community. But we're more excited for Eleanor and Park because Rainbow Rowell.
Because Rainbow Rowell.
I know.
What the hell? This is the most exciting. I did kind of think that the first one of her books to get made into a movie was going to be Fangirl, but I'm so happy it's Eleanor and Park.
I'm excited it's Eleanor and Park, too, because I guess Eleanor and Park is probably the most, serious one? Is the most relatable one? That's good.
Relatable.
The most relatable.
Because Fangirl is not exactly relatable.
It's relatable to other nerds, other fangirls.
Yes.
But that's only like a limited percentage of the population of the world.
Yeah, and this is, and Eleanor and Park's just...
It's a universal story.
It's so good.
It is.
I really hope they keep it in the 80s.
Yeah, well, they've got to. If they don't, then they've just ruined the whole movie. Have to. That's kind of the whole point of it.
I know, but I'm like... I'm biting my nails about that one.
And see, I keep trying to, like, kind of run through fan casts in my head. Like, who are they going to get to cast Eleanor? Who are they going to get to cast Park? And not because, like, I'm a girl and I'm a fan and I just have, like, all the time in the world in my hands. I do not. But one of the things I'm worried about is, you know, the whole kind of like a big thing in the storyline between their relationship is that Eleanor is overweight.
Yeah.
She's chunky and she's a curly redhead girl. Are they going to Hollywood that? Because I don't want them to Hollywood that. I don't want them to cast some, like, Emma Stone as Eleanor.
Well, I mean, they can't because they're, like, sophomores.
Well, I don't know. Have you seen Spider-Man?
They're, like, seniors.
Still, 2-year difference. They can cast people. They have, like, freaking 30-year-olds on Glee. I'm just saying. Oh.
I know, you're right, but I'm like...
I want some unknowns.
I want unknowns.
I want famous people. If I want famous people, I want indie famous people.
Famous people can be parents and adults.
Parents and adults. Great idea. The only person I could come up with Eleanor, and even this isn't the best, is Mae Whitman. Not even the best, but closest I could think of as far as famous people goes. I was like, because you can't do much with that.
You can't. I mean, she could be good. That could work.
But see, and that's the thing. Whoever they cast, they're going to have to be credible, too.
Yeah.
The thing about unknowns is they don't have a lot of experience. So whoever it is has to be fantastic. And
yeah.
Anyway, so we're excited about that.
We are.
People updated on those wonderful things.
And Paper Towns is just, if I had to pick another one of John Green's books to be my favorite, it would be Paper Towns.
I love Paper Towns.
It's... I might love it more than I love The Fault in Our Stars.
I wouldn't go that far. But that's me.
I loved the whole concept of Paper Towns, and I love
it. What is it like, the theme of the book?
Pixie girls aren't real life.
Yeah. It's great.
It's wonderful.
It's got good themes.
I'm very excited for Paper Towns.
Mm. Yeah. And then our last bit of... Our last bit of news, it's not like super big news, but it's big news to us.
It's cool news.
Because the website tells us how many people are subscribed to the website. Not the podcast, but I'm assuming it's about the same thing. And as of today, we have 107 people subscribed to us. Yay!
Thank you,
That's
everyone.
A lot. I laugh because my family thinks I'm stupid for trying to, like, establish a podcast, and they're always joking, oh, how many followers do you have? How many people subscribe to you? And I'm just like, I don't know. But I figured out how to read these stats or whatever, and I was like, ha ha ha, in your face. We're established.
Yeah.
So that's 100
people is establishment.
Yes. Because it's not like about being famous. It's just about the stuff you're doing is actually worth something.
It's great. Yeah. That's excellent. Yay us.
That's our news for today. And we will keep updates and let you know stuff that happens later on the website.
Yep.
Moving on to chapter by chapter. Whew, we have a lot to do. Okay. Did you read chapters 14 through 17?
I did.
Okay. Well, we're going to run back through them again. But first, I wanted to ask you if you have any quotes, memorable quotes from these chapters. If you can't think of any right now, maybe you can think of some later when we're getting into it.
Okay.
So, because, like, I was looking at your face, and your face said, maybe not right now, Steph.
Yeah, my face doesn't, I don't have any. I can't think of one right now.
I had to kind of pull teeth to figure out some of mine, too. Like, I couldn't figure out any. What I did want to talk about is later on when we meet Clara.
Yeah.
Her name isn't Clara. Is it Kara? It's Kara, not Clara. I'm sorry. Shot on me. Okay, Kara. Will's sister. They're arguing with her mom, and she says, she's like, well, you're giving food to the factionless and everything. And they're like, well, that's what we're doing. And she says, food for the factionless, my eye. And it's funny, but I also love the symbolism because the erudite symbol is an eye.
That's true.
So it's almost like an inside joke.
Yeah.
Or like their own little swears in their society.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I thought that was interesting. I was like, huh, what do you know? Got their little swear words right there. You know, the eye, like the guy, like saying, oh my God, you know. But anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. The traditional, we believe in ordinary acts of bravery. In the courage that drives one person to stand for another. That one's really famous. It's in the Dauntless Manifesto. And we've actually read the Dauntless Manifesto on here before, so pretty easy stuff. And then the last one I want to talk about, because it says, it's like at the very end of the ziplining scene when Shauna is looking at Triss and she says, pretty sure we can't call you Sif anymore, huh, Triss?
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool because when we're talking about, when you think about the transfer,
uh-huh.
I don't know if you've read the transfer or not yet.
I haven't, no.
But they have, but you know, Four's big thing is that he didn't want anyone to know who he was, and that's why he goes by Four.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a really good parallel to his transfer story, because later on when we talk about the ziplining scene, that's her moment.
Yeah.
The Dauntless actually recognize her as a Dauntless person. You know, she's no longer Sif or Beatrice. She's Triss.
Yeah. I think at that point, she says, what she says in the movie, she says, when can I go again?
Yeah.
Which I also, that was one of my favorite parts. I mean, I have mentioned previously that the ziplining scene is one of my favorite scenes in the entire book.
It's one of the biggest ones.
And I love that scene. So when she says, when can I go again, it says a lot about her personal growth and herself. And it was a lot of fun for me to see her say that.
To kind of give you a brief history of where we left off, everybody's still on the first stage of initiation. And last time we left off with the capture the flag / Ferris wheel scene. So chapter 14 opens up as Triss's last fight. And she's actually pranked in the morning by the bullies. The point of this is that it gives her all of this fuel, like, and fire to fight. And she, like, is, like, praying that she can fight Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it's Molly, which is still good enough. I mean, Molly was one of the people who did that.
Yeah.
But she's got all this energy and, like, pent-up anger that she ends up really beating the crap out of her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that's the gist of chapter 14.
Yeah, she kind of just beats her up a lot.
I think it's funny that Four actually had to take her off of her. And then chapter 15 is pretty big. That's visiting day.
Yep.
So they're going to take a break from their initiation, and they're going to have visiting day where all of, like, the initiates and the transfer parents come to Dauntless and, you know, visit them. And her mom comes to see her. I kind of forgot her mom's name.
Mm-hmm.
Until
Natalie?
Natalie, yeah, that's her name. Which is pretty cool. I cracked up some of the imagery that they pull out here. Like, they describe her in her little clothes and everything, and it's crazy when you try to picture in your head, you know, they've got all of his parents and all of the aesthetics of the Dauntless compound, and there's her mom standing there all prim and proper in her gray abnegation nun suit. She introduces her to a lot of her friends and to Four, which was their interaction was pretty funny. What did you think about our new character? So when she introduces her mom to, like, her friends, and she introduces her to Will, Will's sister, Kara, is there. And so we've got two erudites and two abnegation together. What did you think about Kara when you first read about her?
Kara is kind of like a little... Kara very much represents her faction.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very much, you know, she buys into it, and that's her. I mean, she might as well have also been in Candor for all her lack of tact in talking to Triss's mom, Natalie, about...
I know, like, do they not even respect, like, her mom's older than Kara. I'm just sitting here thinking, this girl doesn't even know her, and she has the gall to just talk back to her. But she's a pretty important character later on.
Yes.
So we wanted to highlight, you know, new character. See what else happens. Oh, yeah. So later, after all of that good stuff happens, you know, Triss's mom finally breaks her down and says, hey, how are your test results? How are you doing in the rankings? And she's like, I'm doing okay. How do you know about this? And her mom makes the mention that, you know, Triss reveals that she did have inconclusive results. And then our mom stresses again to keep it a secret.
Yeah.
So we get more information about this divergence, whatever it is. You know, why is it so bad? Why is it important? Whatever it is, all of the factions know about it. It's not just a certain number of people.
Yeah.
So we get more insight about that. And then her mom tells her that she wants her to visit Caleb.
Yeah.
Who researched the simulation serum. Again, we don't really know what that's about. We got to finish reading on for that later. And surprise, surprise, was it? She says, I love you, and be sure and have some cake for me. It's delicious.
Yes.
So we find out that her mom was, in fact, Dauntless.
Which I thought was hilarious.
You thought it was hilarious?
I did.
So did you think it was like a coincidence that her mom was in Dauntless and Triss actually chooses Dauntless?
No, I think it's because it was very clear very early on that her mother kind of embodied, took in abnegation as, like, her body and soul. Like, there was no indication at any point before visiting day
mm-hmm.
that her mother had anything other than abnegation. So
she very much embraces it a lot.
Yes. And so I kind of just thought it was... I thought it was funny when she's like, oh, and have some cake. It's wonderful. And I'm just like, you sneaky, sneaky.
Oh, my goodness.
You want to introduce Triss to her grandma and granddad yet, or what? I mean, that was my initial thought. I was like, oh, my God, Triss has family here. Triss could have, like, a thing.
Oh, okay, yeah. So she could actually have a life and have family here.
Yeah, so that was one of the first immediate thoughts that I had, and I was like, oh my God. But then it was never a thing. Like, I don't know why it was never a thing, but
they never pursued that.
But yeah, so I just thought that was interesting.
Which is stuff that you'll, I'm not going to say it. I'll let you finish. I'll let you have some spoiler-free presumptions.
Thanks.
Alrighty. So that's our big reveal in chapter 15.
Yep.
Moving on to the heart to heart with Owl. I love this part. I don't love what happens. I love that Triss makes herself known, like, because, you know, throughout, at this point in the story, she's battling between choosing Dauntless, choosing Abnegation, which one is better. She can't fight both of them. She can't, you know, what is she going to do? And at this point, I think it becomes very obvious that she's meant to be a Dauntless initiate. this is what's important. Because they have, you know, Al likes her, but she pities Al a little bit. She also thinks very lowly of him because he's not strong.
Yeah. There's
and that's where I thought, okay, well, that makes sense because she's a strong person. Like, that's just something you value in other people whenever you have that standard. It's like a standard, you know?
Yeah.
Like, people of faith want to seek out other people who are faithful. People who are, you know, very political want to seek out people who are very political. Like, it's just a part of your life.
Yeah.
It makes sense. I asked this question to Sheree a long time ago. Do you think that Triss would have chosen for had he not been as strong as he was, like in Dauntless, if he was in another faction? Had they met in other circumstances and he was in another faction, do you think they would have had the same story? Or same ending, I guess.
Yes, because regardless of whatever faction he was in, he was still Divergent.
Mm. Spoiler.
Spoiler. Sorry.
That's okay. We can spoil for the rest of the book. We just don't spoil for Insurgent and Allegiant.
Yeah. So that was, I mean, yeah, I think eventually they would have taken a different route because his strength wouldn't have been immediately noticeable to her because of the way he was hiding as a Divergent. But, yeah. No, I definitely think it probably would have happened eventually.
Eventually, just in a different way.
Yeah.
Same outcome.
Same outcome.
Pretty.
Different path.
Different path. I always thought that that's one of the reasons she was so attracted to him, was what was his strength. And his brute reservations. I guess. I'm not really sure. Kind of makes him, you know, that.
Tall, dark, and handsome.
Yeah, but he's, like, also quiet.
Yeah. I think that was what attracted to her. And for me, I feel like it was the fact that, you know, he helped her when she needed it. He didn't, you know, belittle her in any way.
That's true. That's a big one.
Yeah, which was huge. Mm. And I think he just accepted her, which was great. So, I definitely think they would have ended up together at some point.
Alrighty. Well, that, like I said, I love that part just because I think it shines a lot of light on who she is. And unfortunately, she doesn't feel the same way about Al, so, like, you know, that's kind of under the bridge. But that's okay. She likes four. Later that night, though, and I'm so mad they didn't put this in there, but I guess they kind of couldn't. But they have this, you know, that whole big scene about Edward being stabbed in the eye.
Yeah.
And, but again, character development. She's the only one who goes over there and sits with Edward and is patient with him and talks him through it and guides him and cleans up the mess. So, yeah. Like, even though she's strong and fearless, she's also still very selfless. And, like, I love that line. She even and it's not something that she, at this point, she's not trying to fight it or even embrace it. She's choosing it. Her quote is, "I have to suppress the hysteria if I'm going to help him. I have to forget myself." Like, this is not something that she's fighting. She's choosing this. Like, she's saying, yes, I have to do this so that I can help him.
Yeah.
I don't know. It makes more sense that you would help somebody who is, like, bleeding to death, but at the same time, she's the only one who did it.
Yeah.
So that happens. The whole big thing about the eye-stabbing scene was that Edward was ranked first. He was the highest rank in the fighting initiation part. And now that he is left the Dauntless compound with his little girlfriend, guess who's in first?
Peter.
Exactly. So we know who stabbed him.
Yeah.
Which also kind of moves Triss up. She was sixth, and so now she's fifth.
True.
Bad. It's not good, but it's not bad either.
No.
So that's all depressing. And then we come to your favorite scene, the ziplining scene.
I love the ziplining scene.
Super depressing day, and who else but Uriah comes in and invites her to go on a Dauntless ritual. We don't know what it is just yet. So, Uriah, again, new character.
Yeah.
Why is he the only one who reaches out to her? I've always wondered this.
I don't know. Maybe she kind of proved herself during the Capture the Flag event, but no one I mean, she's still not Dauntless born, and she still hasn't passed the test.
But
so.
She's good enough, and she's strong enough to be for him to take notice of her.
Yeah.
And to be included. I don't know. I thought it was nuts that. I mean, I love Uriah for just many, many reasons, but she does get accepted by them, and he is the one person who reaches out. Like, I don't know that she would have. I don't know when she would have had this acceptance moment if it hadn't been for this scene.
No, she wouldn't. I don't think she would have.
So I don't know.
I mean, I think maybe she would have had things not gone all pear-shaped.
You said what?
Pear-shaped. Like, had it not all gone awry at the end.
Oh. See, you can't talk about that because we haven't gotten there yet. Wait, are you talking about the end of the third book or the end of the first book?
The end of the first book.
Oh, okay. Never mind. So what do you mean by awry?
It went, instead of having her complete her initiation, it's like chaos.
Like, I think it would have worked out if had she been able to complete initiation.
Yeah.
Okay. I get what you mean now. Anyway, so yeah, ziplining. Great, great scene. Not a whole lot of dialogue. And like, I don't even know. I highlighted all these different little points, but I gotta talk about this book for a second. The imagery. The writing that Veronica Roth does is nuts. And, like, it didn't dawn on me until I was reading this scene. You know, she's not doing anything. She's running to wherever she's going. But, like, they have this line. She says, I step through it instead of opening it and follow the members through an eerie, dark entryway, crunching broken glass beneath my feet. I just, like... The whole imagery is perfect. How do these people... I'm just, like, astounded by writers in general. How are you able to create so much picture in my head with one sentence?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Her ability to write imagery is... It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm going off about, like, some simple word, some simple sentence, but, like, there's a ton of that in there. It's the whole book is made up of this. It's just fantastic.
It is.
So, yeah, she goes ziplining. She's, like, the first one to do it, too. And she feels that euphoria. It's, like, her first moment to actually feel, like, she just forgets everything and enjoys it. And I think that's fantastic for her. She finally is able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's important for so many, many reasons, but for her, it's her turning point. You know, now that she's become captivated by all of this Dauntless initiation things, now she's determined she wants to be one of them. And that's like her final line in the chapter. She says, it's the first time I've been really eager to be one of them.
Yeah.
So she's just, it's great. It's a great moment for everybody. Not too great for her friends. I think they have a little bit of a tiff at the end, but still. She's...
No, doesn't she have, like... So they do kind of have a tiff, but didn't, like, Christina almost punch a reporter?
Yeah, like, I don't know what was happening. It was right after Edward got stabbed, and everybody was just kind of, like, not doing anything. They just they didn't want to do anything that day. And
I don't blame.
While he was gone, one of the erudite reporters came by and was asking them about the abnegation processes, and like they were trying to bait them.
Mm-hmm.
So Christina was defending her, and Will was like, yeah, she almost punched a reporter for you.
Like any friend would.
Yeah. But you can tell, before he tells her that, they want to know where she was, and she's like, oh, I was just out doing a Dauntless ritual, initiation, whatever. And they're just like, well, okay. Like, she can tell that they're jealous.
Yeah.
He didn't invite them, that she wasn't with them. Because she, you know, she's so happy and she's so euphoric over it. You can see that on her face.
Yeah. It is definitely, I don't know, it is kind of weird that they weren't invited.
But again, Uriah didn't invite them, he invited her. Like you said, because he kind of remembered her from Capture the Flag.
Yeah, and he remembered her being great.
But why?
I don't know.
It's interesting. I don't know. I just, yeah, that's interesting.
It is.
Okay. Do you have any comments on any of our chapters?
No, just that I'm super happy it was the zipline.
Okay. So that's our chapter by chapter. Next time we'll move on. What do you think? 18 through 21?
21.
It's like four chapters, right? 18, 18, 21. Yeah. 18 through 21.
Okay.
So the movie score was really, really great. We didn't talk about this last time. But just so we make it clear, the score was amazing.
It was. It was beautiful. And it really fit with the rest of the movie and the book.
Yeah. So we're going to play a little, we're going to go ahead and play a little mashup for people who, I don't know, like you've seen the movie, but really you got to listen to this stuff. So we're going to play a little mashup of the different songs and the different instrumentals that they threw in there.
Love it.
Now, why don't we do comments first?
Okay. So we're like always telling people to, you know, email in and let us know your feedback and yada, yada, yada. And it turns out that they do that.
What?
They just don't email. They leave comments.
That's awesome. So on the main page are Rachel and Courtney, who said that they love the podcast and they want more episodes, which we are desperately trying to do. Both of us have fairly busy schedules. So thank you guys, though, for wanting more, because that's awesome.
We also had that big... We had that big, like, six-month lapse.
Yes.
So that's probably when they posted that, now that I think about it.
Oh, no, one was on March 15th.
There you go. So, see, we just had to get there.
Yes, we did.
And but we're doing it. We're excited about it.
We are.
So we got a couple of comments on iTunes as well. Dylan Barbie says, great for Divergent fans. Still a very young podcast, but very well done. A must listen for any Divergent fan. Thank you, Dylan. That's awesome.
Thank you, Dylan.
That's very kind. And then below him, let's see here, Ray R071985 said, great podcast. I love this podcast. Wish they would come out with a new episode. Sorry. Sorry, guys. We're doing it now, though. So, you know.
We are.
Late than never.
We're sorry about that.
So that's exciting.
It is exciting.
Okay. So those are our reviews. Leave us comments, guys. We'll read them. We love to give you acknowledgement.
We do.
We also love for people to flatter us with lovely compliments and letting us know how great we are.
In a fan fiction, when one leaves comments, one's hosts make more podcasts.
What'd you say in relation to fan fiction?
I did.
Oh, that's a great segue.
Did I segue there?
You did a great job. High five.
High five.
So I was going to, yeah, so did you hear about the Harry Styles fan fiction?
What?
Okay, so I got to tell you about this really, really quick. So, you know, 50 Shades of Grey was a Twilight fan fiction, and they thought, oh my gosh, this is fantastic. People are really, really loving this. Let's turn it into a book. And now it's, let's turn it into a movie. Bad idea, that, but still, they've gone on to another online website called Wattpad, which is like fan fiction, but not fans fiction. It's not like over previous.
No, it's more like
writing that's not fan based.
Yes, we'll go with that one. It is more fiction, and it's more personal. Like you're writing a book, but it's not. You're not publishing it.
Yeah, it's like fan fiction without the fandom.
Yeah,
you're writing just because.
Yes.
So somebody wrote a story about Harry Styles from One Direction, but and there are three of them, but they've gotten like hundreds of millions of reviews and comments and like subscribers or whatever. So these are some really successful like ebooks. Can you call them ebooks? Online books.
Because you can get them on EPUB.
Okay. And a publishing house went ahead and bought the rights to it. They want to try and publish these books. On one hand, I'm super thrilled that the online writing community is getting some recognition and people are starting to realize there's a lot of talent out there. And on the other hand, Harry Styles, really, people.
I haven't read it. I can't say. I don't know if it's well written. I don't know what it's about. But there you are.
Way to be neutral, make me the bad guy. Like, I'm all like, whatever, I don't care. And you're just like, I'm neutral.
I'm trying to not care.
I'm trying to that one. Okay. Well, the reason why I brought this up, though, is because, like you said, I wanted to ask you if you wanted to do themes when we recommend books every week.
Sure.
Like, when we could recommend children's books.
Okay.
Or, like, when we could recommend fantasy or whatever. And I thought, for the heck of it, we should recommend some fan fiction.
Okay.
Just because we both read it and we both love it. And I know everyone else does. So the only problem is that I don't read a lot of Divergent fan fiction. I read a lot of City of Bones and Twilight. But it could be any book. It could be any online book. Like, I want to recommend something from Wattpad, too.
Okay. I've now come up with an idea.
If not, then we don't have to worry about it.
Oh, no. I do.
Okay. So we'll do that. Right. Oh, now I've got to figure out how to cite her. There is a... Crap. Okay. There's a book on Wattpad, and it is called Clockwise. And let me think here. So this story is about a girl who can travel in time.
Cool.
And she travels back to the Civil War era. And that sounds like I'm not a history buff. I do not care for history. I want to teach English, not history, people. But this book was very, very cool. Because what happens is the girl can travel through time. She always travels back to, like, the same time period, which is, like, during the Civil War era. So she kind of has this alternate life with the people that she meets. And she's got, like, clothes stashed under a log because she always travels back to the same spot every time. It's kind of funny. Anyway, the girl's, like, 16, and she's at a dance. And she ends up dancing with, like, her crush on a dare, it turns out.
Usually.
But she can't control when she travels and goes back in time with him.
Oh, no.
And it's intense because she doesn't know when she's going to go back to present either. Like I said, she can't control it. So then she has to cope with, like, explaining this to him and working it out with the already established life that she's got back in the day. And
does she have a boyfriend back in the day?
It's interesting. No. No, she likes him, this dude. It's pretty interesting, though. I loved it. It was my very first story ever read on Wattpad.
Cool.
And I loved it. Oh, L. Strauss, that's who it's by.
What?
L. Strauss.
Okay.
So it's called Clockwise by L. Strauss.
Nice.
Strausse, I think. Really good stuff. I love to reread it for the heck of it. Like, because, you know, that's the fun part about online, like, fan fiction and Wattpad and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they're fluffy sometimes, or they're just fun reads, and sometimes you just want a light, fun read.
They are.
Okay, so that's my recommendation this week.
So I actually have, like, full-on fan fiction recommendation.
Okay.
Which is, and I know that half to, like, most people who do Sherlock have read this fan fiction.
Okay.
But I love it so much. It's called A Performance in a Leading Role, and it's by Matt Laurie, and you can find it on Archive of Our Own. And it's AU, so Sherlock and John are actors in, like, today, and they get cast together opposite each other in a gay movie that's not about being gay. So it's not like Brokeback 2. It's I can't subtly remember what the movie's called. What?
Subtly thrown in there?
No, that's the whole thing. I mean, like, the whole thing is about them being in this movie and then their relationship evolving and what comes of it. And then they're, like, Oscar performances and people get nominated. And there's, obviously, it's a slash fan fiction, so. I'm not going to spoil anything by saying it's a Sherlock John fan fiction. They get together. But it's the
reason why they're paired that way.
Yes. It's the process of them getting together, and it's just such an interesting storyline. And Mad Laurie is one of my favorite fan fiction writers on Archive of Our Own.
Mm.
It's so much fun. It's such a good read, and it's well worth the time to put into it. And that's my fan fiction recommendation for anybody who hasn't actually read it.
Well, I'm definitely one of those people, so maybe I'll have to go check it out. Maybe if I can get through it. I'm not a big slash fan, but you never know. There's a first for everything.
Yeah.
So those are fun. I thought there's a lot of, shake it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, there's some really talented people online.
There are.
And their problem is they just can't network themes. So, oh, speaking of which, I added fandom art to the website.
I saw that.
So stuff that we find, and you're more than welcome to do that too. I don't have to be like, if you, because I know you see stuff on Tumblr too.
Yeah.
Like these people, these artists who make stuff on DeviantArt, on Tumblr, Redbubble, whatever it is. One of my favorites is Karen Hallian.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her stuff before she became giant. I don't know. She was always giant to me. I don't know. But, like, she's got this Disney Doctor Who line of graphics.
Seen that.
They're so good. I'm, like, so jealous that these people have talent and I don't.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Again, lots of really talented people online. So we're going to be, with every new episode, we'll post something. So if you've got a fan fiction story or you've got some art that you want us to promote for you, send it in to us. Email or send a link or whatever the heck you choose to do. I don't care. I think that basically covers everything. That's our episode 7. Be sure and let us know what you thought of it. You can email at factionfandompodcast@gmail.com. Our website, factionfandom.com. Our Tumblr is... Follow us at ourfactionisfandom.tumblr.com. And I set up a Twitter today. It's called, what's the handle? F Fandom Podcast.
Nice.
Do you say at twitter.com or do you just say the handle is F Fandom Podcast?
That works.
Okay. So we have a Twitter now. Maybe it'll be successful. I don't know. I'm really bad at Twitter. So yeah, be sure and do that. You can follow me on Tumblr at Tough as Cotton Balls. What about you, Alyssa?
You can find me on Tumblr at a book blog. You can find me on Twitter at asmith86. I think that's... Oh, just to... If I'm going to plug myself, I'm starting a book blog. So look for my book blog on YouTube.
You have a book blog on YouTube?
I'm going to do it.
Like where you review books and stuff?
Yes.
That'll be fun.
It should be fun. It'll be
all right, well, we're gonna have to watch those.
Yeah, this could be fun.
You'd be mad if I make fun of you?
No.
Okay.
I make fun of me.
I may do that a lot.
That's okay.
I love watching YouTube. I love making fun of them, too. It cracks me up. All right.
Everyone does.
So that is our episode. Stay tuned for the next couple of weeks. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
He's fun though. I love him. I guess I love him for that reason. He's the sweet guy. He's the boy next door. He's this typical sweet boy.
He is the boy next door, but my problem is that I just want to smack the cute out of him.
Aww. What's that look for?
No, I'm sorry. I just was looking at Tumblr.
Oh. Lord knows what you're looking at then.
St. Clair and his snarky assholery is really like my kind of guy.
I'm mad because there's somebody on here who's named Faction Fandom and their handle is Faction Fandom. I'm like, they don't have any followers or tweets or anything. I'm like, seriously? You've saved this handle. You've done nothing with it. I want it. Why can't you just leave it up?
Oh, they left comments on iTunes.
Crap, I've got them on the audiobook, so I hear his accent. Oh, it's intense. It's intense.